Title: Base Pockets Around Sarah Rush's Beginner. All right, let's build one of those How Is This So Clean? Drum and bass moments, a snare rush that ramps the energy up, while the bass stays loud, readable, and not all smeared out. Because here's the truth. Sarah Rush's are basically a short spike of chaos. Tons of fast transients, lots of mid-range, and a quick headroom slam. If your bass is rolling underneath at full intensity, the rush can mask the bass. The bass can blur the rush, and suddenly your drop feels smaller instead of bigger. So today we're going to make bass pockets around the rush. And the mindset is important. Think masking moments, not always duck. We only move the bass out of the way when the rush is densest. Then we snap right back so the groove keeps its size. Let's set up the project first. Set your tempo to something in the classic range, like 174 BPM. Create three tracks, a drums track, a bass MIDI track, and a separate snare rush track. That separation is not optional if you want control. If you sidechain from your whole drum bus, the bass will start pumping to hats and ghost notes and random stuff. We want the bass to react aggressively to the rush, but not overreact to the rest of the drums. Now loop 8 bars. 8 bars is perfect, because we can have a normal groove for a few bars, then place a rush as a mini build into the next phrase. Next, let's build a basic 1-bar drum pattern. Keep it simple and solid. Put your kick on 1.1. Put your main snare on 1.2 and 1.4. That's your classic drum and bass backbone. Then add hats or shuffles in 8ths or 16ths just to get movement, but don't overcomplicate it. The rush is the feature later, so the main drums should feel stable. Cool. Now let's create the problem we're going to solve. The snare rush. On the snare rush track, place a fill leading into a phrase change. A classic spot is bar 4 into bar 5. For a beginner-friendly version, do 16th notes for the last half of bar 4. If you want more intensity, you can push it to 30 seconds for the last quarter, but start with 16th so you can hear what's happening. If you're using MIDI, put your snare into a drum rack and draw the notes in. Then do two quick humanizing moves. First, add velocity variation. Don't slam every hit at the same velocity, or it turns into a machine gun and it masks everything. Second, nudge a couple hits slightly off-grid by just a few milliseconds. 1 to 5 milliseconds is enough. You're not trying to make it sloppy, just less robotic. Before we even touch the bass pocketing, one coaching note. Listen to the rush sample's tail. If it's long and washy, it will smear into everything even after the fast hit stop. Sometimes the easiest mix fix is actually sound cleanup. Shorten the tail with a fade, a gate, or a tighter sample. If the rush is cleaner, you'll need less ducking later. Alright, bass time. On the bass MIDI track, we'll make a simple rolling bass line. Keep it very drum and bass, an 8th note or 16th note rhythm, and make sure there are a couple gaps. Those gaps matter, because a bass line that never stops makes it way harder to create contrast around fills. Pick a dark key area, like notes around F, G, and Ab. Don't stress about theory right now. We're focused on space and clarity. For the sound, let's do a beginner-friendly stock Ableton chain. Load Waveatable. Set oscillator 1 to assign wave for your sub-foundation. If you want a bit more presence, bring an oscillator 2 as a very low-level saw, just enough to add harmonics, not enough to turn it into a buzzy bass. Keep voices at 1. We want the sub stable and mono-friendly. Then add a saturator. Keep it gentle, maybe 2 to 6 dB of drive, with soft clip-on. This is about making the bass audible on smaller speakers without turning it up into the limiter. Then EQ 8. If you need it, do a very gentle high pass around 20 to 30 Hz. Don't go chopping your sub. And if the bass is boxy, a tiny dip around 180 to 250 Hz can help, but don't overdo it yet. Then a utility. Set width to 0% so the bass is mono. Later we'll adjust gain for balance. Now we've got drums, a rush, and a rolling bass. If you play the loop, you'll probably notice it already. When the rush hits, the mix gets crowded, the master gets louder, and the bass groove becomes harder to follow. That's the masking moment we're fixing. Here's the core concept. We're going to create a pocket for the bass during the rush. You've got three practical ways to do it. Start with manual volume shaping, because it's the most reliable and the most you're the boss approach. Then, if you want it more automatic or more consistent, add sidechain. And if the problem is mostly mudness, add an EQ dip in the low mids. Let's do option A, manual volume pocketing. Go to the bass track and show automation. You can automate track volume, but I prefer dropping a utility on the bass and automating utility gain. It keeps things tidy and easy to copy around later. During the snare rush section, draw in a quick dip. Aim for about -2 to -6 dB. If you're new, start at -3. The shape matters. Fast down, smooth up, and here's a big teacher tip. Don't start the dip exactly on the first rush hit. Start it a tiny bit before, just a few milliseconds or even a few ticks earlier, so the first rush transient has space. And don't wait until after the rush to bring the bass back. Bring it back right as the rush ends, or even a hair before the downbeat, because that return is what makes the next bar feel huge. Also, avoid clicking. Don't make the automation a perfect vertical wall. Give it a tiny ramp. If you still get clicks, you can automate something smoother like a compressor threshold instead of raw gain, but usually the little ramp fixes it. Now play it. You should hear the rush become clearer, and the bass stay controlled. But you might think, wait, am I losing bass? That's where the low volume test comes in. Turn your monitoring down. If you can still follow the bass groove quietly during the rush, you're good. If the bass becomes untrackable, you overdid the dip. Option B. Sidechain compression keyed from the snare rush. Add Ableton's compressor on the bass track. Turn on sidechain. For the input, choose the snare rush track, not the whole drum group. Set ratio to about 4 to 1. Attack 1 to 5 milliseconds, so it catches the snare rush hits quickly. Release somewhere around 40 to 120 milliseconds. Then bring the threshold down until you're seeing about 2 to 5 dB of gain reduction during the rush. Now, release time is the make or break knob. Too fast and you'll get that chattery pumping, like the bass is vibrating in and out on every little hit. Too slow and the bass stays dipped after the rush, and you kill the drop impact. So here's how you tune it. Loop just the rush into the downbeat after it. Adjust release until the bass is basically back right as the new bar hits. That way the rush feels exciting, and the downbeat feels like it lands with authority. Option C. Frequency pocketing with an EQ dip. This is for when the bass is loud enough but it feels muddy during the rush, like the mix turns into a blanket. Put EQ 8 on the bass track. Create a bell cut somewhere around 180 to 400 Hz. That's a common collision zone where snare body and bass harmonics overlap. Start with minus 2 to minus 4 dB, Q around 1.2 to 2. Now automate that EQ dip to only happen during the rush. This is a really clean trick because you can keep the sub steady while just clearing the thud zone. Coaching note, ducking depth depends on register. The sub region, roughly 40 to 90 Hz, usually doesn't need much movement because the snare isn't living down there. The low mids, like 120 to 350 Hz, often need the most pocketing. Now let's make it feel like actual drum and bass arrangement, not just a mixing fix. Try this 8-bar phrase. Bars 1 through 4 are the normal groove. In the last half of bar 4, the rush happens, and that's where the bass pocket kicks in. Then bar 5 hits, and the bass returns full level. Here's an extra punch trick that's almost unfair. Right before bar 5, cut the bass entirely for 1/16th note. A tiny silence. That micro gap makes the downbeat feel massive, even if you didn't change the bass sound at all. If you want to get even more intentional, you can do call and response. In the rush bar, simplify the bass rhythm. Even removing one note that sits under the densest part of the rush can make it sound like an arrangement choice. Not I had to duck it, because it was messy. Now do a quick mix check. Put a limiter on the master temporarily just for safety. Don't try to master right now. Lower your listening volume, then toggle the snare rush track on and off. With the rush on, the bass should stay controlled and not smear. With the rush off, the bass should still feel full, like you didn't suck the life out of it. If the bass disappears during the rush, reduce the dip amount, shorten the release, or consider ducking only mids instead of the full bass. Let's hit a few common mistakes so you can avoid the classic beginner traps. First, ducking the bass from the entire drum bus. That makes the bass pump on hats and random stuff, and it'll feel unstable. Key from the rush track. Second, release too long. This one ruins drops. If the bass is still ducked when the next phrase starts, the track feels like it lost weight. Third, overcutting the sub with EQ. Don't try to solve a rush by removing all the low end. Pocket mids first and keep the sub consistent. Fourth, rush with no velocity variation. It becomes a wall and masks everything. Fifth, ignoring arrangement. If your bass is playing constant 16ths while your rush is 30 seconds, you're stacking density on density. Give one of them space. Now, quick pro flavor tip that's still beginner-friendly. Split sub and mid bass into two tracks. Keep a clean sign sub on one track with minimal ducking, maybe 1 to 2 dB at most. Put your mid bass on another track with the saturation and the heavier ducking. That way, the weight stays consistent while the audible character steps back during the rush. It's one of the easiest ways to sound bigger without clipping. Another small separation trick, keep bass mono, but slightly widen the snare rush with utility on the rush track. Subtle width, like 120 to 160%. That gives separation by space, so you need less separation by volume. Alright, mini practice exercise to lock this in. Make a 4-bar loop with a rush in bar 4. Then create 3 versions. Version 1 uses only manual volume automation on the bass. Version 2 uses only sidechain compression from the snare rush. Version 3 is a hybrid, a small automated EQ dip around 250 Hz plus light sidechain, bounce them and a slash B. Ask yourself, which one keeps the bass loudest? Which one makes the rush feel most exciting? Which one keeps the roll steady without wobbling? And if you want a real challenge, create 2 different rushes, one that's 16ths for the last half bar, and one that's 30 seconds for the last quarter with different velocities. Keep the same bass line, and build a pocket system that survives both without you having to redo everything. Recap time. Snare rushes are density spikes. They can mask bass and eat headroom. You create bass pockets during the rush using manual volume automation. For maximum control, sidechain compression keyed from the snare rush for automatic ducking and optional EQ dips in the low mids to reduce frequency collisions. Then you arrange for contrast, like tiny bass gaps and a full return on the downbeat, so the next bar feels bigger. If you tell me what style you're making, like liquid roller, jungle, neuro or jump up, and what bass you're using, like pure sub, reese, or wobble, I can suggest a starting pocket depth and release time that matches that groove.